let that be our prayer this morning, God. Allow your Holy Spirit to pour out in our church, God, to pour out in our homes, pour out in our community, Lord. And God, let it be an undeniable fact that you are doing a work in our lives. And God, let it resonate for those around us. Lord, we are helpless without you. So Lord, send a revival. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. Tell you what, I'm all in love with this church because I get to practice two times before we get to the main course here. So I've been having a really good time this morning, and I'm so blessed just to be here and to be with you in this service. I mean, this is the service. Like, we got packed. So I like it. I like it. Beautiful people everywhere. Well, guys, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to worship with you and to be in the house of the Lord today. Before I preach, anytime I preach, every time I preach, I like to pray just to invite the Holy Spirit to come in, to speak in me and through me. So would you bow your heads with me as I pray? Lord Jesus, we are just so grateful to be in your house today. Lord, to be in your presence, to be able to worship you, Jesus, to be able to get to know you, to be able to hear from you, Lord, to be able to praise you through song and through the written word. Lord, I just pray that you would be with us this morning, with each and every single one of us, here or online or wherever somebody hears this message or whenever somebody hears this message. I pray that you would speak directly to them, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to me and through me, Lord, that your words would fall on the ears of your children today, that any distractions that we have in the room, that you would just remove them from us, Jesus, so that way we can dedicate this time just to learn a little bit about you and your word. I believe, Jesus, this message is for your children in this room sitting here now. I pray that you would speak directly to them. Move them in a way that they've never been moved. Strengthen your relationship with them in this service today. Jesus, I love you. And it's in your name I pray these things. Amen. Amen. So I made the statement going into the second service. I'm going to make it in this one too. It's amazing to me that Pastor would actually, and I'd said it differently, but it's amazing to me that Pastor has to preach or gets to preach three times every single week because I just feel like it's got to get better every time. I was sitting in my pew heading into the second service, and I was reviewing my notes and moving some things around, right? Because I got the practice round the first time, so then I got to make a few changes, and I got the practice round the second time, make a few changes. I just found myself sitting there thinking, like, there is absolutely no way I'm going to be able to preach the same sermon, the same exact sermon twice, right? And so I guarantee you I'm not going to be able to preach the same sermon the third time. So we're praying that the Holy Spirit still, you know, says exactly what you need, because I believe that I have a message for somebody in here today. Right, I believe that I have a message for you. We talked about the travel issues, and I'm very, very grateful for Pastor's acknowledgement of the fact that I was committed to being here, regardless of any earthly circumstances. As long as it was within my power, I was going to be here, because I believe that the Lord has a message. And this was in my prayer as things changed. My prayer that I heard from the Holy Spirit was, there's somebody, right? I heard somebody, so maybe it's just one. Sorry if it's not you. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. There's somebody that needs to hear this message, and we've just had such a good time worshiping the Lord here. So Friday night, we were getting ready to put our girls to bed. I have two daughters, Eliana and Arabella, and I get that text message from American Airlines. It says, your flight, industry report, is canceled, but we're looking to rebook you. Now, I'm a man of faith, right? I love Jesus, and I'm a man of faith, and I'm like, you know what? I'm supposed to be there. I'm going to be there. We'll just wait. They're going to send me a different airline. I'll find another way. But after we got the girls to sleep, so about 30 minutes later, and actually the girls weren't sleeping yet, about 30 minutes later, I gave up putting the girls to sleep and left it to my wife, bless her heart. Any of you with children understand what I mean. And went to start trying to figure this thing out, right? Okay, my flight's canceled. I haven't heard anything yet. I need to go figure out how I'm going to get there. And so I call American Airlines, and I'm on the phone with them, and they make very clear to me that, you know, the soonest they could get me industry report was Monday. And I'm like, that doesn't work. I got a return flight on Sunday. I'm supposed to be preaching, so it just doesn't work. So they canceled that flight, refunded my money, and I was started checking, can I fly into Mississippi? Can I fly into Dallas? Can I fly in? Where can I fly into? And so New Orleans was available, and I took it, because when you're committed to the work of God, you're willing to do whatever it takes to achieve what he laid on your heart to achieve. And that's where I was at that point, right? So I'm glad to be here. We went through some struggles, and I'll share a little bit more about the journey throughout the sermon as well, but I'm just honored to be here, right? I was committed to be here. I believe that God has a word for you guys, and you guys, this is a wonderful church. I mean, truthfully, from the people that I've met, and I don't just say that because it's what you say, like, I've truly, you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this church. You can feel love, you can feel joy, you can feel support, and I'm just honored to be a part of this community, so thank you for the invitation. So today, I'm going to be preaching on and talking on the purpose of work. So if the purpose of work, we just put that up there. The reason being is I was called into ministry, and I'm also called to be in the marketplace. What I do for a living is I build, I buy, and I sell companies. I have one mainstream company that's Easy Metrics, where we teach other businesses how to make money. Right now, that's a pretty strange conversation, if you will. Wait, you teach people how to make money, and you're a pastor or a preacher. How does that go hand in hand? Like, how do you pull that off? Because in the church, I mean, don't those things clash? Right? Isn't money evil kind of in the church, right? Or at least doesn't it seem like it is or feel like it is sometimes? Well, it's really not. And so some of the scripture we'll read here in a little bit will show that, you know, when God references gold for the first time in Genesis, he actually says that it is good. And there's just an inclination in my spirit that, in my spirit, in the gifts that I have, where I love learning about business and entrepreneurship. And I was blessed to be able to sell my first company when I was actually going into seminary to be a pastor. Right, so I'd already built one. I've already kind of, those are the things that I desire. And what we're talking about when we talk about work today is we're talking about desire. I believe that each and every one of us here today has a desire in your life to do something. And we all work at every stage of our life. We work, right? My wife is the hardest working human being that I know right now. Yet she never gets a paycheck. Right, first, taking care of me, that is like two full-time jobs, right? I mean, I still try to hit that hamper every time I throw my clothes in the dirty laundry, but it never makes it, I promise. It's just, I don't know, gravity just gets heavier around there. Taking care of a husband is a lot of work. She was able to stop working in 2016, and we're abundantly blessed by that. Then we started having children, right? We have a 3-year-old, Arabella, and a 1-year-old, Eliana, and thank you, Pastor, for recognizing them at every service. It means the world to me. And taking care of them is a full-time job. The desire of her heart, and she feels called at this point in her life, is to take care of me and take care of the family. So no matter where you are in your life, you should be working towards something, right? Eliana, my 1-year-old, around 9 months, she was working toward learning how to walk, right? Now, when you learn how to walk, when you learn how to do anything, it takes time. So she kept falling and kept falling and kept falling and kept falling. And once she learned how to walk, Now she knows how to run, and now she knows how to climb. And so our first daughter didn't climb on things. We'd never experienced our daughter literally climbing up the stove and getting on top of the stove like by herself. She's one. I don't know how you even figure that out at one, but you're working towards something in your life. I believe that you, wherever you are in your life right now, are working toward something. So people ask me the purpose of work. Like, how do you intertwine ministry? How do you intertwine business? How do those things collide? And even let's go one step further. I was actually thinking about this message in between services. Another thing that I recently realized that was happening, I've intertwined business with church, which is also kind of hard, right? I get to speak about business. I get to speak about what I do. I work in businesses. I work on businesses. I work above businesses. And I'll change it over to that in a second. I'm also bringing that message into the church. You see, so many people think that church is something you just do on Sunday. Or maybe if you have midweek services where you want to come to church, we want to hear from God, hear a message from God, and then we go to work, you know, Monday through Friday, and we go live life, but we don't intertwine the two. It's interesting to me that the question I get asked a lot is, how was I able to intertwine the two? And I just did it because I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to. It's amazing how much you can accomplish when you don't have somebody telling you what you can't do. And so either way, let's keep the service going. So we're looking at the purpose of work and the whole concept of why do different people believe different things? Why do different people believe different things? I preach interdenominationally. What that means is I will go anywhere, Nazarene, Baptist, Pentecostal, non-denominational. I'd preach in clubs and casinos if I was invited. I will share the gospel that Jesus loves you anywhere I'm invited to speak and preach. But when you go into different denominations, Things to consider are the fact that different denominations believe different things. Even within the Baptist church, y'all believe different things. One Baptist church believes one thing and the other Baptist church believes another, and I don't want to go into some big doctrine standpoint, but you need to be careful, right? People believe different things. Well, why do people believe different things? It's because of who you surround yourself with. It's because of who's giving influence in your life. One of my mentors and coaches said this quote, and I'll kind of backdrop this for the rest of the service, which is, who you believe determines what you believe, and what you believe determines how you behave. So who you believe determines what you believe, and what you believe determines how you behave. Now, don't get me wrong, if you jump ahead to the end of the service, I'm going to say I really hope that you believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior and that you know him and that you base your decisions off of your relationship with Jesus Christ and God's word. That's how we measure the decisions that we make, and that's the way I hope you measure life. But you have other sources of input that you have other sources of input. Don't know if I mentioned them yet. Last service. You have other sources of input. Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, social media, Google, the internet, whatever it may be. You have other sources of input. You have those people that you work with, the relationships that you're in, your church, your pastor. You have sources of input. Some of them are good, right? Pastor's input, I hope, is good. Sometimes, most of the time, daughter doesn't know so much. I don't know. You want to have good input, but you also have other sources of bad input that change the direction of your life because you believed what somebody said about you and you don't know whether it was true or not. Maybe they squash some of the creativity in your life. Well, I want to try to guide you a little bit, right? Who you believe determines what you believe. For me, I've mentioned my wife. I'll keep talking about her. Apparently, I miss her more in the service than the first two. I'm just kidding. I missed her just the same. I want her to be the who that I always measure my success on, right? Now, obviously, she's in line with Jesus, I'm in line with Jesus, but my wife judges me more and harder than any other person on the planet, and I absolutely want her to judge me. She knows me better than anyone else, right? She knows everything about me. She knows the good, the bad, the ugly. She's the closest person to have to me, and if she doesn't guide my decisions, I might start swaying to the right or swaying to the left and getting out of what God has actually called me to. Who is it in your life that you believe? Like, who do you believe about work? And what do you even think the purpose of work is? Like, what is the purpose of work, this concept of work? The idea that I'm waking up every day and I'm doing something, right? Whether you actually know it or not, you're making the decision every day to wake up and do something. Maybe it's wake up and take care of the kids. Maybe it's wake up and fight with your spouse. Maybe it's wake up and fight with your kids. Maybe it's wake up and play video games. Maybe it's whatever. You're making that choice every single day to work on something, right? Maybe it's, you know, our babies learn how to walk and how to talk and how to run and how to work. Maybe you're a pipe fitter. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're in college. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're in high school. But what is the purpose? Why am I doing what I'm doing where I am in my life? Because at every stage of your life, there is a purpose for your work. And I said this too, we'll throw up the next slide, is who do you believe about the purpose of work, right? What and who? It makes a big difference because based off of who you believe and based off of what you believe, you're going to make decisions that are going to impact the rest of your life. At every single stage of my life, there was a purpose. When I was 14 years old, I was a pharmacist without a license. Kicked into a view. What that meant, just layman terms, I was selling weed at church, just so we're clear, right? I was in church. I just wasn't really listening, apparently. And so at 14 years old, I this whole crowd just completely resonated. I don't know, we need to pray for them, lay hands. I'm just kidding. I was actually attending church. The reason why is I had heard an evangelist preach a Turner Burns sermon, right? Heaven is real, hell is real, you got to choose one, choose this day who you will serve or go to hell, basically. So my prayer at that time was, you know what, God, I don't know if heaven and hell is real. I don't know if any of this stuff is real, but if heaven is real, I'd rather go there than I'd rather go to hell. So come into my life and save me. That was my prayer. And then I went and I was like, man, this is great prospecting ground. I had my clients were sitting in the pews. Lord, forgive me for that. I'm not Catholic, but whatever I need to pray there, lay hands on me for that one. So I began listening a little bit, right? And I was just living my life, 14 to 17. I was just kind of living my life and listening here, listening there. At 17, the Holy Spirit really grabbed onto me, right? Really grabbed onto me and showed me more purpose. At 14, he had a purpose for my life. At the time, I was working in a manufacturing plant. At the same time, I was a janitor, right? I was a sanitation engineer. That's right. I had a real title, which meant I, you know, changed the toilet paper and cleaned the toilets and mopped the floors. And I still actually have one of the work orders that was actually written to me, because they did try to take it serious, right? I was a sanitation engineer, so it was a work order for me to go, you know, clean the air conditioner. I still have that. At every area of your life, no matter where you are in it, God has a purpose for that work in your life. And he wants you to work diligently at what you're going through right now. And so no matter where you are. So at 14, he had a purpose for my life. At 14, he had a purpose for your life. At 17, when I was received my call into ministry, he had a purpose for my life. When I got married, there was a purpose. When I had my first daughter, well, there was a purpose. Our second daughter, there's a purpose. When we pastored a church, there was a purpose. There's a purpose for everything. And we'll get further as to sometimes what those purposes can be. But what do you think the purpose of work is? Let's read from Genesis chapter 2. I think it's going to be on the screen. And the Lord God planted the garden in Eden in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden. And there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first river was Pison. It was the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Beldam and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is Tigris. And it flows east of Assyria, Esrea. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And then I want you to hold here. The Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Now that's English Standard Version, and I read a bunch of different versions, and that's the one that we recommended for here. But it says work it in just about every variation. He put the man there to work. Now I want to kind of focus on two sections of this scripture here. And the Lord God planted the garden in Eden, right? So if we look at the word garden, right, you have a protected place, right? Garden, a protected place. And Eden means pleasure. God took the man. This was Adam, Adam. He put Adam in there. This was before Eve, right? It was, he called Adam, you know, there, and Adam later called her Eve. So this was before Adam and Eve. He put Adam there. He didn't have to tell us. God didn't have to tell us all these in-between scriptures of everything that was there, the rivers and the different things. He could have literally just said, and the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, and then he put the man there, right? I want us to focus. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. What does this mean for you, right? So we know we've identified God's ideal environment for us right now in our current world is a protected place of pleasure. God wants to protect us. He wants to keep us. He wants to use us. But unfortunately, we do live in a broken world that's going through struggles, especially right now, and going through chaos. But we can still seek him and do his will no matter where we are. So what is the purpose of work? How does this even apply, Jake? All right, so God put the work on earth before he put the man here to do the work, meaning that God put your assignment here before he even formed you in your mother's womb. He put the assignment. He put your entire life here before he even formed you. God created the world, and then he put us here. If we look at Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created, right? God created the heavens and the earth. And then he created us in his image, right? So why do I need to work, right? I believe we need to work. What is the purpose of work? Is to exercise my God-given creativity. Right? In the beginning, God created. It's the first thing, God was creative. Well, why? Why would God create the world? God is all-knowing. He is all-complete. He didn't need us. I think God created because it was in God's nature to create. Then he created us just like him. Therefore, it's in our nature to create. That's why I think wherever you are, you're supposed to be working on something, because when you don't work on something, it's when we fall into despair, we fall into depression, we start second-guessing what we're doing in this world. I've been depressed before, and I didn't understand this concept of depression until it happened to me. Depression happens, I believe, when you're not fulfilling God's call and God's purpose for your life. When you're not exercising the creativity that He planted inside of your heart, you can start swaying away, thinking about different things, not being productive. I actually think it fills us with joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control and all those things when we're exercising God's creativity in our life. And here's what's amazing. He put different creativity inside of you than He put inside of me. And the creativity that's inside of me can make your life better. And the creativity that He put inside of you can make my life better. And so you need me, and I need you, and we all need each other in this world. But the things that we don't need are the people that are going to squash our dreams or squelch our creativity. Right, the media trying to tell us that we're not as good as we should be because we're comparing ourselves to somebody else. We don't need somebody to tell us that we shouldn't be, do, or have more than we ever wanted just because they weren't called into that themselves. There's something that I believe that God has laid on your heart right now as I'm saying it. I believe that there's something that you're doing or supposed to be doing. And I'm not saying like, go be a pastor, or go preach, right? It could be the janitor. I was diligent while I was a janitor. I was diligent when I was a manager at Subway. That was past being a sandwich artist, because that's where you start, right? I was diligent when I was unloading packages for UPS. I was diligent when I was a UPS driver. There's all these seasons in our life that lead us to places that we don't completely understand, but I just want to be the guy to reassure you today that God has you exactly where you need to be on this day, that what you're going through and those inclinations inside of you, what you think you're supposed to be doing, you're supposed to be doing, that God wants to use you. We have to be willing to exercise our creativity. And so if you're not, right, if you're not doing that, if your work that you do is not giving you a release to express and exercise for the purpose of strengthenings and express for the purpose of showing the creativity of God that He put inside of you, then you're not probably living, you might not be living in the right livelihood, right? If you're not fulfilled with what you're doing, if you don't believe that you're strengthening yourself and growing as a person, maybe it's time to like revisit God a little bit. Hey, God, you know, where am I supposed to be going and what am I supposed to be doing, right? I get that question a lot. Jacob, well, how do I know what my purpose is? How do I know what I'm supposed to be doing? Like, I don't know what God's call in my life is. I didn't have that aha moment when I was 17 and God say that you're going to build businesses and you're going to preach the gospel. Like, I know those don't go hand in hand, but I get it. Here I am, right? I didn't have that moment, so how? Well, the way I like to kind of guide people through that is saying it's where your passion and your proclivity intersect. Proclivity is your inclinations, your desires. When I was 12 years old, I remember this story really well. When I was 12, I would walk into the grocery store in our town that we lived in. And in order to get into the grocery store, you got your two double doors, your sliding doors that walk in, and just imagine a cold winter day because that's where it was, cold winter day. And you walk in, and to the right, you have to basically cut down this aisle that had all these magazines on it, a rack full of magazines. And I remember when I was 12 years old, I would always want to stop and look at the business magazines, like Business Insider, Entrepreneur Day, the things that were around at that time because that was the desire of my heart. But then, you know, as time went on and I was called into ministry, I really started to wrestle like, okay, so my desire is business, and when I was in ministry, I'd already built and sold one. My desire was business, but how do those intertwine? Because listen, people with money in church, they don't seem to mesh. I had to literally take my inclination and give it to God, not knowing all the things that were going to happen from 14 until today. I didn't know all the different things that I needed to go through. I just want to reassure you that what you're going through, you need to go through right now in your life because it's helping you get to that place where God can use you just like He used David. That we need to stay diligent with what we have now and focus on what we have in the future. You see, so in business, you work in the business, you work on the business, and you work above the business, right? That's the whole mantra. So in the business is, I pretend I'm the pie maker, right? I make really, really good pies. So all my neighbors told me that I should make pies and sell them because it would allow me to create a source of income. So as an entrepreneur, I start the pie making business. So I'm really good at making pies. I'm working in the business to get the material to make the pie, to actually make the pie, bake the pie, to find the customers, to buy the pie, sell the pie, to deliver the pie. I'm working in the business. Well, then as you get down the line, you start working on the business, right? You start pulling yourself from the equation, you start bringing in people to help you, so now you can work on the business so it starts functioning as a as a true business or an operation of its own or an organism of its own. And then as that starts going, you then work above the business, and now you start thinking about the big picture of the business. Like, what does this do for the world, right? That applies to your life exactly where you are. You work in your life, right? I need to maybe eat a few more salads, go to the gym a little bit more. I saw, you know, there's some kids in the last service that were like really buff, and I'm like, man, I need to step my game up, right? So I'm working in. I need to focus on my marriage. I need to spend more time with my wife. I need to spend more time with my kids. I'm working in my life. I need to focus on my own personal development and fill my mind with the good, the pure, the positive. I need to read the word. So I'm working in my life. You also work on your life, right? So then you step back and you start writing some goals, right? How many in here set, just for a show of hands to wake everybody up, set a New Year's resolution? Okay, handful of people. Okay, handful. Should I ask how many people are still pursuing their resolutions? I think, got a couple, okay, all right. I think they say like, I don't know, I think I read the statistic that it's like around day 13, like everybody's out. So like by January 13th, 14th, everybody's kind of out. You're working on your life. Goals are good. I just think we should be setting them every single day, right? And I set a New Year's resolution, and I set goals every day. I just think we're working on our life, and then we work above it. What is the big picture? What is the big impact of what I'm doing in my life? Is this going to matter 100 years from now? Am I leaving a legacy that I'm proud of, a legacy that my kids would be proud of, a legacy that someone else might aspire to attain just because of the work that I'm doing? See, I don't believe that God makes junk, right? I believe that God designed you for accomplishment. He engineered you for success. He endowed you with the seeds of greatness. I believe those things. And so I believe we need to exercise our God-given creativity. The second reason I believe we need to work is to experience character development. Experience character development. Now, my trip down here was definitely a character development type of a trip, right? When your flights are canceled, that's interesting. And I just realized that time's going super fast, so maybe I'll get another story, maybe I won't. But I want to experience character development. So here's the idea. This statement will forever change my life. It's all work works. Right? So you might be thinking, well, Jake, I understand that you had your call, you had all this clarity, I'm glad that the Holy Spirit spoke to you, I'm just not getting that. Jake, I've been working in this job for 6 years, and I was trying to get the promotion, and I didn't get the promotion. Jake, I've been in this marriage, I'm trying as hard as I can to fill my spouse, to love my spouse. I've read the 5 love languages, I'm going through the Love Dare workbook, I'm trying to get them back, and they just don't love me, so I just don't understand why these things don't work. Jake, I studied for the test, I'm not passing that test, I don't understand, I'm planning to win, I'm preparing to win, I'm expecting to win, but I keep losing. Well, here's the reality. All work works. And in Proverbs, it says that all work brings profit, right? This word profit, and I really have studied it a lot because I like studying money. So why wouldn't I read the stuff in the Bible that talks about money, right? So all work brings profit. Well, you might be thinking, I'm working, right? I'm working my 9-to-5. I don't think that's exactly what work means here, or the word profit. All work works simply for me means the work that you're doing today is either working for you, or it's working on you. And you can intertwine those words. It's either working on you or it's working for you. And what I mean by that is when I was working for UPS, I was learning business systems and principles that I didn't understand were going to help me down the line. When I was working as a manager at Subway, I was being diligent and being faithful to what I was supposed to be doing in my service, and that was helping learn the thing, so it was working on me. These things were working on me. When I was a janitor, I learned how to take care of things. I mean, sometimes we just need to learn how to take care of things. My wife still wishes I was a janitor. She's like, I can't believe it. You've never cleaned the microwave in your life. Either way, all the wives in here are like, amen, amen. The work that you are doing today might just be working on you. Maybe it's a character development. Maybe that's what you're going through right now. Maybe it's working for you. Maybe your marriage is doing great. Maybe your relationships are doing great. Maybe school is great. Maybe you know exactly who you're supposed to be, where you're supposed to be. Here's what I know too. Life comes in peaks and valleys, right? And when you're on the peak and when things are going great, I got bad news for you. That means a valley's probably coming. But if you're in the valley right now, and that might be who this message is for, if you're in the valley right now as the world is struggling and businesses are closing and marriages are falling apart, the peak is coming. The mountaintop is coming. We just need to realign ourselves with God's desire for us. All work works. And my last point of why I believe we're called to work, we're called to be creative, right? We're called to exercise our creativity. So I believe it's here to establish God's covenant. And I do flirt on the lines from prosperity preacher to whatever, and I'm definitely not. I call sin sin, and I believe God blesses those who work, right? That we actually have to do things in order to achieve things, that we have everything, especially in America, right? So as a evangelist, and as I have a million followers on social media, which I'm super proud of, we reach people all around the world. But I'm not preaching around the world right now. I'm preaching to those sitting in America. We have the ability to be, do, and have literally anything and everything we want if we're willing to put in the work and learn what we need to learn to achieve it. And so I believe that God has a desire. Maybe that's to start a business. Maybe that's to get married. Maybe that's to get a promotion at work. Maybe whatever it is, I believe God's called you to something. Something great, right? Something extraordinary, so that way he can use you later on. So I believe that we need to work to establish God's covenant. And so I'm referring, of course, to the covenant with Abram in Genesis 12, where he says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. I believe that call still applies to us. I believe it applies to you. David, a shepherd, believed that it applied to him. David, a shepherd, I can just see him tending his sheep and playing with his slingshot, right? It was his job to protect the sheep. And so anytime a wolf would come, he would kill the wolf, right? I can just kind of envision this in my head, a slingshot, little boy taking care of his sheep, and I can just see him sharpening that craft, right? Because that doesn't seem like something extraordinary. I'm a shepherd, and I'm taking care of sheep, and I get to play with my slingshot all day because basically that's my weapon of choice, and that's my, I can almost see it as like a toy, as a hobby. So I can just see him kind of practicing his craft, right? You like my sound effects? Come on. They're getting better every service. He's just practicing that craft, and he's staying diligent. Wherever he is in this life, he's staying diligent to that craft. And then when the time came for his dad to call him to go and take some things out in the field to his brothers, he was ready, one, with his craft, and then two, with the willingness to serve. You read that he actually ran with these things to his brothers in the field, right? That's vim, that's vigor. He's going after it. He attacks everything in his life at full force, with excellence. So he ran out there. And I can just, I try to play this out in my head. When I read the Bible, I try to turn it into a movie if I can, right? I can see Goliath cursing, right? I can see Goliath cursing them. And that's something I want to put kind of out there, because it does say, Scripture does say, I will curse those who curse you. And so I kind of feel like this boy gets there, right? This boy gets there and he sees everybody hiding from Goliath who was cursing at them. And I can almost, the way I interpret this is he was probably like, man, did y'all forget the covenant? Right? He's cursing us. He will fall. This is already done. What you're going through in this world right now is already taken care of. God already has it figured out. So the stuff that you're going through, we just have to have faith. I had faith that I was going to be here, right? And there's a whole story about my rental car. There's a whole story about the trip up here. I had faith I was going to be here. But in order to get here, I had to be willing to step out in faith to show up. I had to continue to take action. When the flight shut down, I could have easily fired off a text and, hey, they would have gave me grace. Absolutely, Jacob, we'll reschedule you. I just knew I was supposed to be here. I was committed to God's plan for my life. I didn't know the outcome. I didn't know who was even going to show up, because I knew we've had bad weather. And so I didn't know if anybody was even going to be sitting here, but I knew that God told me I was supposed to be here. I knew in my heart of hearts that I was going to be here. And so I committed to God's call in my life and did whatever it took to achieve it, regardless of what the enemy tried to do to keep me away. What is it in your life that God's calling you to, right? It doesn't need to be what I do, right? It doesn't need to be to wear suits. Oh, I didn't even say that. Man, I missed all kinds of stuff. That's the downside of Freaking Three Services. I missed out on some joke opportunities. But the whole look good, feel good, right? So either way. What is God calling you in your life to do, right? Maybe it's just be nicer to your coworkers. Maybe it's just to be nicer to your brother, your sister, your family. You see, everything that we do, we're supposed to do with excellence. At least I believe that to be true. And I believe that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is always talking to us, right? My wife is the best wife and best mom I could ever ask for because she believes it's her call, so she's working diligently to do that. And I acknowledge that, which probably, you know, we acknowledge what we do for each other. I still don't put my dirty clothes in the hamper, but maybe one day I'll get there. It's a joke, but it's cool. Where are you? Where are you? Like, I'm just going to hold here, right? I'm an evangelist, and this is the last service, so I'm not getting kicked out. I guess I am getting kicked out eventually. So I don't mind holding in some awkwardness. Like, where are you? Is God telling you right now what you're supposed to be doing for his kingdom, for his righteousness? As I sit here as a nervous habit, I have this ring that I've wore since I was in college. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all things needed will be taken. Are we really seeking first his kingdom and righteousness in your life? Like, do you know what you're supposed to be doing? You see, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I believe God called you to greatness. I believe he did. God don't make no junk. But I think in order to achieve the things that God wants us to achieve, we have to be willing to seek him fervently in prayer. It was at the altar that I was called into full-time ministry when I was 17 years old. Now, granted, I was still, like, I had weed in my pockets. Like, I'm just being honest. I wore suits then, too. I just like suits, man. More pockets, too. Inventory. I was willing just to say, God, you know what? Man, at that point in my life, I don't even know if I still believed in him. I think I was just going to church for something to do. I was just willing to seek him in prayer, right? Because I think it's at the altar, Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will speak to us. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I knew I was called to preach. It was at the altar where I knew I was called to marry my wife. Like, I heard it. I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. Just because I was willing just to spend a few seconds with God. And so before we wind down and before we call it a day, and before I invite Pastor up, I just want to invite everybody to stand, if you will, before we pray. And Justin's going to play a bit. If you want to be bold, if you want to be willing to hear from God right now, I believe he has something to say to you. I want to open the altars so that you can just come down and pray. And this isn't a, hey, come to know Jesus prayer. If you don't know Jesus in your life, I would love to have more conversation with you. But this is for that person that's like, Jake, I know Jesus. I am a Christian, but I'm so ready for more. I'm ready for clarity. I'm ready for peace. I'm ready for understanding about why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I just want God to tell me. And I believe that's the answer that he's going to give at the altar today. So if you want to hear from God, if you want to be bold and say, God, I want to know what work you have to do for me, then I invite you to come and pray.
I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need. Sin runs deep, your grace is more, your grace is found, is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free, holiness is Christ in me. Oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need.
I want to ask you just to bow your heads with me for a moment as Justin continues to play. God's speaking to your heart. There's still time to come to the altar, or you can decide the right things where you're standing. Maybe it is to give your life to Christ this morning. Ask Jesus now to forgive you of your sins and to be your Lord and Savior. Ask Him to show you His will for your life and for your life's work. Come back to Him, Christian, if you need to.